It's safe to say that most of us want to be fit and see it as a key to good health, but actually getting out there and prioritizing it can be another matter. What's a realistic way to set and stick to fitness goals? Well, how do we avoid getting knocked off track by the holidays? Larry Mueller here, and I hope we will find that out. I'm pretty sure we will. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Our guest is personal trainer Jeff Ligon. And he's with us until 12:30 and has some great advice for getting and staying fit. Do you have a fitness goal that you're afraid will get derailed during the holidays? Well, Jeff's happy to help, and he is happy to answer your questions about fitness. Call us at 1-800-642-1234, or you can go to our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show for posting comments or questions. Click like on the page while you're there. We'll give you regular updates. We'll be back after the news. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today as we visit with Jeff Ligon, personal trainer and the owner of The Fit. It's a fitness studio in Madison. He has a degree in exercise science from Tulane University, where he was also an NCAA record-holding athlete. And after graduating, he worked as a strength and conditioning coach at Northwestern University and the University of Colorado in Boulder. And he opened The Fit in 2008, where clients could take a range of classes, get one-on-one training or small group training. So great to have him along. Thank you for listening in. Do you have some fitness goals? What are you doing to work toward them? Are you worried about getting derailed from your fitness goals during the holidays? And you plan out what you want to do and try to avoid what sometimes is inevitable in terms of food. Give us a call with your questions or comments at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and you can post a question or comment there. Jeff Ligon, welcome.
Thank you.
Great to have you with us. Thank you for having me. Well, now you're an athletic trainer. What does fitness mean to you?
Well, fitness means a lot of things, right? It really depends on what you're trying to be fit for, right? For the layperson, it may be just being able to walk up a flight of steps every day you go to work. You don't want your heart rate up. You want to get to the top flight and you don't have to catch your breath all the time. For an athlete, it may mean, you know, getting a lot faster and a lot stronger so they can perform well in their field of play, whether it's basketball, football, whatever, or the occasional weekend warrior that does ultimate frisbee or something like that. So it really depends on the individual, really, what fitness means.
Yeah, I was thinking this last weekend where suddenly more than 600,000 people were out in the woods across the state of Wisconsin deer hunting. And I'd venture to say probably a big number of those folks had not would not consider themselves to be real fit.
Yeah, that is a big deal here in the state of Wisconsin, you know, going out and, you know, getting that deer during that open season. I personally know a couple people that they get ready for that. You know, they do a little lifting, a little jump on a treadmill, do a little climbing, you know, try to make sure they're ready to do the things they need to do to get into the stand and feel comfortable in the stand and stuff like that. So it's that also being ready for that can.
So you've done a little personal training work as a personal trainer. What's the personal part of it? Do you tailor to a client's needs and goals?
Absolutely, and that's what personal training really is all about. It's having the client come in, figuring out what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are, and helping them reach whatever goal they're looking to reach. It really is tailoring everything towards that individual.
We have Brian in Milwaukee online with a question or comment. Let's go there. Hi, Brian. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for having me. My question is, I started doing a CrossFit program about 2 months ago after doing straight lifting and cardio for about four or five years. And my concern is there sort of a sweet spot between doing like a CrossFit workout and then also running? Because my concern is that I'm going to lose, you know, my distance running ability, or, you know, lower my cardio capacity by simply doing CrossFit 4 or 5 days a week and running one or two days a week?
You know, that actually is a great question. We tend to run into those issues where, we think that maybe because we're doing something different, we may hamper or keep the one thing that we're used to that we love. We might lose some of that. And that's not necessarily true. When you're doing CrossFit, you're working in a different energy system than when you're doing your distance running. All right. You have to understand we have different energy systems for different things that we do. When you're running distance, you're typically in your aerobic energy system, all right? And you can build a very, very strong aerobic energy system. And when you're doing CrossFit, you're typically in your anaerobic energy system. Sometimes you do get into your aerobic energy system, depending on the length of the workout and how the range of your heart rate. So you won't necessarily hurt. If anything, you'll actually strengthen your ability to run distance from doing CrossFit because you're creating some strength that you wouldn't otherwise have in terms of posture, in terms of strengthening your quads, your hamstrings, your legs, and overall body fitness. So I wouldn't say that it would hurt you, but if you were to eliminate a large portion of the aerobic work, you may start to lose a little bit of it just because you're not doing the aerobic work on a regular basis. So just keep that in mind, Brian.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for calling. And you can join in too with a question or comment at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call or email us at talk@wpr.org. Well, here we are, a couple of days away from Thanksgiving. Oh, man. You know, it is kind of, for a lot of people, it's their favorite holiday of the whole year because it's filled with food.
Yeah.
Busy time of the year, too. So it's hard to get sometimes, shopping going on and so forth. It's hard to get our usual exercise routines in there. What do you advise people?
Well, what I would say about the holiday season, basically from Thanksgiving through the New Year's is that just be conscious. And it's very important that you understand to not become unconscious to your goals, to what you're trying to trying to create over time. That's very important because once you become unconscious, you start doing things unconsciously. Mm-hmm. You start, eating till you're over full. You start to drink a little more than you used to. You start to do things that you wouldn't otherwise do because you were trying to reach certain goals. So you have to be very conscious of what you're doing, when you're doing it, how you're doing it. If you can stay conscious through that period of time, it's going to be very beneficial for you.
Absolutely. We had an email from Susan in Cottage Grove who says, my fitness club offers group personal training sessions. Doesn't fitness training have to be one or the other? So she says the fitness club offers group personal training sessions.
Group personal training sessions.
Doesn't have to be one or the other. I don't
know. No, that's not necessarily true.
Okay.
So group training, some very, very large groups are, you can't call that personal training. If you get over five or six people, it's not really personal training because it's taking away the attention that the trainer has. The attention span of the trainer has to increase a lot to be able to train anyone or train a group over five or six people. Personal training obviously is one-on-one, right? That's everything that you're trying to do in any specific session is specific to an individual. But you can do personal group training or smaller group training where you can give some personal attention and allow for good form, good technique, good personal attention without it necessarily being one-on-one. Now, there are some situations where some people can't quite understand individual exercises. They need more attention. That wouldn't be a good environment for them because they can get hurt and may not have the attention they need. But most people that are at a certain level, they can understand instructions fairly quickly. can go into a group setting like that and actually get a lot out of it without having to incur the cost of having a one-on-one personal training session.
Yeah.
So they're not necessarily contradictory.
Yeah, makes sense. Whitney in Schulzberg, it's your turn. Hi, Whitney.
Hi. I'm 27. I've lost about 83 pounds over the last year. And at this point, I'm kind of looking to take an extra few inches off my tummy, and I'm having real trouble getting it off. I was wondering if he could give me any suggestions for targeting that area.
Well, that's a very, very tough question.
It's right a very, there. By the way, congratulations on losing 83 pounds. That's a lot.
Absolutely, Whitney. That's a hard thing to do. It's a tough thing to do, especially if you're doing it on your own. But that's great. The reason why I say it's a really tough question is because our bodies don't tend to work that way. We can't localize, loss to any specific part of our bodies. What happens is our bodies are set up to use energy the way it wants to use energy. Mm-hmm. All right. It burns glycogen. It gets into your fat storage. It just in that way. So what I would suggest if you wanted to lose a little more weight to maybe alleviate those areas that you want to reduce, it would be more in lines of, and I'm not quite sure what you're doing right now. Actually, that's a question I want to ask you. What are you doing right now, Whitney?
I am counting calories and fat, and I walk 2 or 3 miles a day, and I started doing some Pilates.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what's your weight now, roughly?
About 170, and I'm 5'9".
Okay.
So that's great. What you've been doing up to this point is actually great. What I would suggest is a little resistance training, and this is why. Resistance training, obviously, is going to build muscle, right? And when it builds muscle, your body then, the metabolism goes up. And then during the day, your body will burn calories naturally. You don't have to actually do any more work to burn more calories, because your muscles, just to sustain themselves, need a certain amount of energy. And so you'll burn calories. So I would say at this point, it might be a good thing to start adding some resistance training in there to build a little more muscle, therefore helping you reduce your overall percentage body fat.
And so, and when you say resistance training, are you the weightlifting? What do you think? What are you talking about there?
Okay, so that could be, it could be weightlifting. It could be using TheraBands, those kind of rubber tubes that you can get in any store. It could be, the body weight exercises such as push-ups on your knees, or doing rows, or any sort of exercise like that. But a little bit of resistance training to add some, a little more muscle will be another step to help you lose a little more weight.
And somebody told me once that even, and this is for sort of the belly on the front there, even just sort of sucking your gut in and sucking it in as often during the day and kind of holding it actually helped. And I'm just trying to do it now as I'm talking.
Yeah.
Is a help. Is that true?
Well, what you're doing when you're sucking your belly in is you're actually engaging your core muscles. You're engaging your abdominal muscles, right? So mm-hmm. when you're engaging your abdominal muscles, they tend to strengthen. You engage them, you work them out, they strengthen, they create the better posture. When you create better posture, then over time, then you may have displaced the belly and you pulled it back and repositioned the belly because mm-hmm. the muscles are stronger, but you haven't really lost anything off the front of your belly. So,
all right. There you go, Whitney.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks very much for calling. And Jesse in Winona, Minnesota, it is your turn. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for having me on the show.
Sure.
My question was, well, I guess first of all, I train in mixed martial arts, and I've been working out a lot in the past few years, and I'm right now focusing on explosive power, and I was wondering, when I'm doing my sets for my different exercises, how should I stagger how many repetitions I do to help focus on that power and to get up to a max weight? And also, how many sets of a particular exercise would you recommend doing?
Okay, now, and to start, though, when he's talking about explosive power, what is he talking about there, Jeff?
Well, when he's talking about explosive power, he's talking about one's ability to do any specific exercise at maximum force. Right.
Okay.
So at maximum force. So, for example, if you're jumping and you want to jump up on a box or something like that, you have to gauge a certain number of muscles in your body to be able to jump up on the box. Those muscles create a force that allow you to move vertically. And you can increase that force by making those muscles bigger, stronger, mm-hmm. and a little more explosive. So that's kind of what he's talking about there. A lot of this, Jesse, increasing overall explosive power comes down to the individual, right? So it's very important that we understand we all have different body types, right? Some have a higher degree of fast twitch muscle fibers, allows them to increase power very easily. Some people have smaller percentages, a high twitch muscle fiber, and a little more slow twitch muscle fiber, which none of us like to say that we have, but some of us do. And it's a little harder. It's a little different to increase power. That's why people with slow twitch muscle fibers aren't Olympic lifters or world-class sprinters or high jumpers or anything like that. So, but there are some things that you can do, obviously, to increase your power. Number one, you're doing mixed martial arts. Have you ever had any experience in any of the Olympic lifts?
Yes.
Okay, so you have done some power cleans, maybe some hang cleans, some snatches, stuff like that.
Yes.
Okay, so those are going to be very, very good in helping you increase your overall explosive power and your strength. When you talk about reps and sets, a lot of it comes down to where you are right now in terms of your overall anaerobic threshold, how strong you are, how long you can maintain the exercise. But if you want to increase just power, typically you don't want to do any more than 5 or 6 reps in any exercise. All right, just keep that in mind. When you start getting past your anaerobic threshold, then and you're building a lot of lactic acid, you're getting away from the explosive nature, the ATP, adenosine triphosphate. I hate to throw big words out there, but you're getting past the explosive part of fitness. So you want to keep it down below those. You want to do maybe 3 to 4 sets of each exercise that you're doing. All right. This is just typical guidelines.
What percentage of my max should I be doing at 5 reps?
Well, it really depends on what kind of periodization schedule you're on, and that just and that really goes into a nice long I could talk about that for probably about 20 minutes, and I don't know, we don't have that time, but it really depends on if you're getting ready for some specific event and you need to be ready in 5 weeks. Well, then you have to start at a certain level, maybe
sure.
5 or 6 sets of, 5 or 6 reps, and you're doing, 8 sets or something like that. And you taper down and you kind of flow back and forth until you get to being ready to train. When you're only doing sets of 3 reps and you're doing them very heavy and very explosive, that kind of stuff. So if you go to the National Strength and Conditioning Association, they may have some information on there about periodization, but it's any library, go to the fitness area, they will be able to help you with those books will be able to help you with periodization.
All right. Great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jesse.
Yeah, thanks very much for calling. I appreciate your call. You know, this time of year, and we talked a little bit about this, about the amount of food, but this time of year, we'll be seeing some family, some relatives that we see maybe once a year, and the focus is always on eating and drinking. Are there ways to incorporate some activity into those visits that we have with that we could kind of work for?
Yeah, I think it's tradition is very important, and I think when you're when you're thinking about things to do to make sure you don't kind of fall off the boat, so to speak, sometimes it's important to put something physical in there. Maybe if you have an early meal during the day, which I know a lot of people do, maybe they eat at 12, they may want to, you know, go look at the lights somewhere, mm-hmm. or walk downtown, or, mm-hmm. you know, go for a walk, or walk the dog, or something like that. Try to find an activity that's going to be physical where everyone can, you know, be a part of the activity to burn off some of those calories. All right. So, I mean, you're putting in a lot of calories, you're putting the glycogen into the storage, you increasing that blood sugar. You can bring it down a little bit, level it out. Number one, if you eat consciously and realize that you are having a big meal and portion control is very important. And number two, maybe having a physical activity, some outside for a walk or something like that, or maybe throw around the ball a little bit. It is, you know, it is football time too.
Yeah, it is. It sure is. Yeah. And of course, a lot of people on Thanksgiving Day, my guess is there's going to be an awful lot of people eat their turkey and watch the Packers and the Lions.
Exactly.
Here in Wisconsin anyway. Oh man. Stephen, Milwaukee. Hi to you.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
There's a boxer called Manny Pacquiao. And he's getting older now, and he's doing a lot of other things, like he's a senator in the Philippines, he's building a hospital, and he's doing some music stuff, he's got some records out, and he's still boxing professionally. How does someone like that, I think he said he trains for like 8 weeks for a match, how does he train just for 8 weeks and win a fight when his opponents are probably not doing that other stuff, and yeah. maybe training like as a full-time job?
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? I mean, it really is. I know about Pacquiao, and I think what we have to really understand is that genetics is very important in our ability to be athletic. It really is. You know, I used to train college athletes, and I would train kids to get them ready for the NFL draft and get them ready for obviously the football season. And I would always try to help them understand, make them understand that all I can do is make them as fast or as strong as they can be. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, because genetically we have a predisposition to what we can do, and we can't really go much better than that. Right. Pacquiao has some tools that he can work with that allows him to be
here.
A lot of us really don't have. So he can train for 8 weeks, and I'm pretty sure he trains at a very, very high level. Most of the really great athletes, regardless of how much they talk and how much we, you know, dislike them because of their personalities and stuff like that, they work really, really hard. You know, they're really, really good athletes. So, you know, Pacquiao, with his genetic potential and his really hard work, you know, that's just probably what he can do.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Steve, for calling. And Jeff, man, we're out of time already. Thank you so much for coming by. I appreciate you stopping by. Jeff Ligon is personal trainer and owner of his business is called The Fit. It's a fitness studio in Madison. Are you online, by the way?
Yes, I am. www.thefitonmonroe.com. All one word, thefitonmonroe.com.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it very much. And Jeff Ligon again, personal trainer with The Fit, a fitness studio here in Madison. Taking a look at what's ahead tomorrow, Judith sitting in for me tomorrow, entomologist Phil Pelletieri will talk, give us an end of the season insect report. Thanks for listening. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.